Welcome to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy, where we want everyone represented and empowered in our democratic republic. Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters. We're nonpartisan and we never promote candidates. We help people understand the issues so they can vote responsibly. I'm Tracy Riley Kelly.
And I'm Teresa Torres.
And I'm Rachel Bancroft.
Well, we like to tell you about monthly civic happenings, and in the month of September is the National Day of Civic Engagement, celebrating Constitution Day on September 17th from 4 to 8:30 p.m. over at the Historic Trust's Artillery Barracks. There's going to be trivia, crafts, find out about the controversies of the Constitution. Or have a vote in the planning of the new community park. A 14-acre park is being planned on the corner of 192nd Avenue and 20th Street. All ages are welcome to review and weigh in on the early design concepts on October 3rd from 10 a.m. to 12 at the Vancouver Innovation Center. That's where all this is taking place, 18110 Southeast 34th Street.
Our guest today is Janet Landisberg, who is currently serving as the Charter Review Commissioner for District 3. Janet has a law degree from the College of William Mary and a distinguished law career, which we're going to let her tell us about it. So welcome, Janet. Tell us about that career.
All right. I started as the first female JAG at the 25th Infantry Division.
That's great.
I became a trial attorney for the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, known as Metro in the Washington, D.C., and I got the privilege of representing them in the Eastern District of Virginia and the federal court in the District of Columbia for 12 years. And then after a short stint in private practice, I became an administrative law judge with the Social Security Administration, and that was the top of my career. That's what I aspired to. And then I retired and moved out here.
Wow, that's fascinating, and could be a whole radio show just on its own.
I was just about to say, we're not going to talk about the district.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the charter. So many people have heard the term county charter, but they don't really know what it is. So what does a charter do, and why should we, the voter, care about it?
The charter is our governing document. It's kind of like the Constitution or the bylaws. And in 2014, the citizens voted to have a charter form of government to make us one of the special counties and not just have to follow state law on every single thing.
Okay. So what is the role of the Charter Review Commission, and what is the commission asked to do during this review cycle?
Okay. So the Charter Review Commission is elected every 5 years for a 2-year term, and we're asked to review the charter, and you can propose amendments, or you can just sit there and just vote on the amendments. There's no specific agenda to it.
Can private citizens propose an amendment?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Private citizens can email the Charter Review Commission and say, and this is a good time to do it, mm-hmm. I want to see an amendment on A or B or C, and somebody might decide to champion it. And I will actually go through in a minute the process of how these amendments went through. So the amendments got proposed by, let's just say, Councilor A from District 1. And then it took 5 votes out of the 15 to just say, okay, send it to a committee, let them propose their own, what the amendment will say. Then it came back to the commission. And if it got 8 votes, they mm-hmm. did a detailed presentation. Eventually, it went to the legal counsel in the prosecuting attorney's office and to the auditor's office for a financial impact statement. It came back to the charter. We voted on it again. And we took a final vote on July 15th on the amendments. It took 8 votes to pass it on to the ballot in November.
Okay. Thanks.
So I understand there were many more ideas discussed than the amendments that the voters are actually going to see on their ballots. How does the commission narrow down the list?
Well, we narrowed down the list by votes. So some votes the proposal didn't get enough votes, so it didn't go through, but they could reintroduce it next time. There were some amendments, like there's three of us who had one on the redistricting committee, and we decided we would wait till this next cycle to bring it forward. So you could voluntarily say, we're going to wait till next time. So that's how it went through.
Is that next year?
We're going to start in the end of September, starting on the amendments for the ballot for 2027.
Wow. Sorry, lost my place here. So let's start with those amendments that deal with the election, the ones that deal with elections and voter participation. What would these proposals change and what would they bring forward?
So you're talking about the elections?
2601, 2620, and 2640, those amendments.
Okay. So I'm going to, and let me start because I forgot to say, I'm appearing in my individual capacity and not as a member of, speak on behalf of the charter. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to read to you, what the amendment does, is what the charter outreach committee put forward. So you'll be seeing something similar if you attend any of our town halls.
Okay, thank you.
So 2601, it was called Clarifying Nonpartisan Office Elections, will appear on the ballot as proposed Charter Amendment 22. And this amendment clarifies nonpartisan elections. The idea is they passed last time an amendment to change our partisan county elections to nonpartisan, but they didn't change the process of how we put them on the ballot. So right now, if you looked at your primary ballot, you saw some positions like the sheriff and the prosecuting attorney on your ballot, even though they had no opposition. The idea is to mirror what the state nonpartisan elections do, which is to have, if there's three or more in the primary, it'll appear on your primary ballot. Otherwise, it won't. If there's two or less, they will only appear on your general election ballot in November. And the idea behind this was it will save money so that had it been on the ballot in the last cycle, it would have saved $75,000. Now, the con against this, the opponents to that say it makes it so if you only have one election cycle, the Public Disclosure Commission limits how much money you can raise. And some of the candidates want the free publicity in the voter's guide.
Right.
Things you don't think of when you're a voter.
So the second amendment is limitation on consecutive terms for county council members will appear on the ballot as Charter Amendment 19. And so basically you can serve three consecutive terms, take 4 years off, and come back for another term. And the sponsor of this amendment says, we're going to do term limits for everybody. So if you don't like it on this one, you're going to see it for the, may see it next time for the executive positions. The opponents to this say, hey, the voters can decide for themselves who they want. That's what the ballot is for. And if you have term limits, then you have a lame duck counselor who may be ineffective in representing you.
That makes sense.
The third one is amending the initiative, mini-initiative, and referendum process. And I'm not going to go through it. It's extremely detailed. It took up like three pages of the resolution. But the big idea was it changed from 10% of the voters to 8% to approve an initiative. This failed by 58% of the votes last time, but last time it included a section for financial and for a legal opinion. This time it has a section that says we can do statistical, the auditor can use statistical sampling so that not every signature has to be verified. Opponents of the bill, of the amendment, think every signature should be verified, and that the voter spoke last time and it shouldn't be on the agenda this time.
When these kinds of participatory things are coming out, are they actually saying that all signatures would be verified?
No, a statistical sampling is like 3,000 would be verified, but you couldn't fail it for not. You can't fail it on statistical sampling. They would have to go through and verify all of them. I think Portland did this. I think there was problems with one of their ballot initiatives with using statistical sampling.
Okay, well, I think you've covered the main arguments that people have. We're going to go ahead and...
Yeah, so let's move on. Some of the amendments address county fiscal decisions. One involves tax approval thresholds. Another involves the budget timeline and public access to budget information. I believe that's 2608 and 2610. Just wondering what each of those would bring in terms of practical change, or what changes would those bring in practical terms?
Okay. And Janet, we've just got 2 minutes before the break. So if you want to just describe one of them, and then we'll take the break, and then we'll move on.
All right. So requiring a supermajority for council approval for county taxes in Clark County would mean you would need 80% of the council, 4 out of 5. It's only been passed in one other county. It's Pierce, but Pierce has 7 counselors. So a supermajority there is different than the 80% it would require in Clark County.
So what is a tax decision? I mean, you'd think that we all should know what a tax decision is, but what is a tax decision?
Mostly it's the general fund, which the county uses to pay for... most of this money goes to the general fund, which pays for parks and public safety, such as the sheriff's department, the court system, and public defenders. By state law, the council can only vote a 1% increase in taxes per year. That's your property taxes or similar measures. So in the past 12 years, there were 6 years where the council did not take the 1% tax increase.
Right. Okay, complicated issues, but we're going to take a quick break. We're speaking today with Janet Lindesberg from the Charter Review Commissioner. You're listening to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy.
Support for KXRW comes from On Point Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. On Point. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.
Welcome back to Citizen 411. We're your hosts, Tracy Riley Kelly, Rachel Bancroft, and Teresa Torres. Today we've been talking with Janet Lindesberg, Charter Review Commissioner. Janet, thank you for describing the supermajority amendment, and now we're going to turn our attention back to the Budget Transparency and Process Amendment. If you could just give us a brief description of that, and then again, what would each of these changes result in practical terms?
And I want to remind the listener that every number that we use during our charter review meetings, like 2610, each one has a different ballot number. And so the transparency and process will be Charter Amendment 20. And the order may seem very strange. It is, because we use lots to pick it. They were like bingo tiles. So there is no rational order to the order the ballots will appear on the ballot. Okay. So the... proponent of the transparency and process wants to start earlier in the year to do the budgeting cycle, which is already set up under state law. But the proponent actually stated during the meeting that he didn't like it interfering with the campaigning in November and with the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday. And in the past, the council has been voting on the budget in December. Now, the counter argument to not doing it earlier is it's a budgeting is very complex. The start date is already created by law, state law, and that the departments need more time to ferret out to give better budgeting information. So those are the pros and cons to that process. Now, the pros and cons to the supermajority for taxes that we talked about before is basically the proponent of the bill thought that if you were raising taxpayers' taxes, it should take more people. The argument against this is in Clark County, this means that two county councilors can control the budget, mm-hmm. and it's not as democratic as letting your democratically elected councilor having their vote matter on these budgets.
Thank you. And can you just give us a little bit more detail about the considerations that the voters might hear on these amendments? I know you went briefly into the opponents and pro-choice decisions, but for example, what about arguments on consensus and flexibility, administrative processes? Just a little bit more color on the discussion.
Well, if you, on the budgeting amendment, there's more flexibility in the departments if they can wait longer to set forth their budgets because they may, you know, we could have a COVID situation or who knows what might happen a little bit later in the cycle so that you need the budgeting information later. The trade-off is, do we want the public to participate earlier or do we want the public to have the best information and that comes later?
Mm. Well, do you think that people might just say that we need 4 out of 5 people to vote against any tax? They would vote, then no good taxes would ever be. Like, what if that meant to this area that no good taxes? So some taxes are good, aren't they? I mean, would people vote against them just to vote against taxes?
So here's one of the dilemmas that the county's facing. And that is funding the sheriff's department so that the sheriff came, Sheriff Adkins years ago came and said, I need money for the jail. I need money. And they would not even pass the 1%. So besides the charter amendments, there's going to be a bill, a bond issue that will require 60% to fund our jail and to fund our police department, sheriff's department to get more deputies and equipment that they need and the justice system. So there's trade-offs if you don't do the 1%. And the problem with 1% is it doesn't keep up with inflation. I mean, just think about putting gas into our sheriff's vehicles right now. Yeah. Nobody budgeted for what's been happening.
Mm-hmm. Several amendments focus on transparency and accountability, performance audits, annual reporting. What would those amendments change, and how are they different from each other?
Okay. So the simplest one to discuss right now is requiring annual publication by the county manager. Right now, the charter just says it's discretionary. And so all this does is make it mandatory and make it available so that it's published broadly. And the proponent of this, sponsor of this bill, said a website isn't good enough because we're going to change how we disseminate information in the future. We don't know what it'll be, but we just want our amendment to keep up with the times. The other one is about performance audits. Is that the one you wanted me to address? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this was to make it clear that the county council or legislative branch, which the county council is, could cause to be conducted a county audit of finances or programs. The problem with this amendment is no one stated when we voted it forward, that there's already an ordinance in the county that permits it. So anybody, including a county counselor, can request an audit, financial audit. It's just the financial audit goes to the auditor's department, and they do the audit. So the question you have to ask as a voter is, if it's already part of the code, why do we need it? And when it was evaluated financially, it would cost $100,000 or more a year to hire outside auditors to do what can be done in-house.
There is one amendment that would require a housing impact analysis before certain county ordinances are adopted. And in our reading, we had a little bit of a hard time understanding this. So Janet, in plain English, what would this requirement do?
It's hard to understand. All I can tell you is the building industry wanted it. The premise was, before they create new ordinances, they wanted to know the impact on housing. The counter argument to this is the things that make housing unaffordable in Clark County are not governed by these ordinances. They're governed by state law, which mandates certain places where you can build and you can't build. And then federal law requires all these different environmental and, you know, other kinds of standards. So those are the things that cost, add to the housing. And if it was our little ordinances that were making a difference, Clark County would have, the statistics don't bear out that these ordinances are affecting
the
housing.
You're saying basically the charter can't supersede a state or federal
requirement.
Right.
And as one person put it, these are arguments to be debated at a county council meeting, mm-hmm. not to be put in our governing document.
Right.
And it costs the taxpayers money. So the taxpayer would be paying for these.
So what are the arguments for broader council involvement in nominations, and what concerns have been raised about politicizing or changing the appointment process?
Okay. This was an amendment that passed without any opposition.
Really?
Yes, because all it did was, in the charter, there's three positions that the counselors could nominate for. One is the Planning Commission, and the other two are ones I had never heard of, and I could try to find it in my notes. All the other ones were nominated by the county manager. They wanted to be able to have county counselors also dual nominate. So mm-hmm. it's not taking away a right from the county manager, but the reason to allow the county counselors the opportunity is they may know people in their district because they represent just one
right.
section of the county, and they may be able to put forward names mm-hmm. or suggestions that people don't know about.
Okay.
It's not politicized because the people who are put on these commissions, each commission has its own process for approving people on the committees and boards.
So Judge Janet, as we know, that you have the ability to parse information, as you're looking at the service that you've done this year, now you're going to continue next year. How long is each person's term?
It's a 2-year term. So we're actually in office until the end of 2027. Now we have, because of when the voters pamphlet and stuff, everything has to be decided for the 2027 ballot by the middle of July. But we have not decided whether we will be putting more amendments on the presidential ballot mm-hmm. because we do have that power.
Yeah. Is that?
And that would be 2028. Well, that would be sort of our next question. How? Yeah. Will there be another election for new charter commission? Is this going to go on? Is this the rest of county life?
No, it's a two. I mean, it is a 2-year term, but you can put charter amendments on the third year. It's just that there will not be any charter review sponsored town halls or any information disseminated by the charter review that isn't already on the charter review website.
So as people decided that they needed to review and look at the charter in this year, 2026, is there another time that such a process would go on according to the charter?
So right now the charter has it that the charter commissioner is elected every 5 years for a 2-year term. There's been talk that two 5-year terms is plenty and that they think we should just go to 10 years. So that is possibly an amendment that will be on the ballot next time in 2027.
Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that we are really, really wondering. And we have a couple of minutes. So if listeners want to do homework, how can they find out more? How would they find out more by listening and attending? How would they find out more by visiting websites?
Okay, so the Charter Review created, if you go to clark.wa.gov, that's the Clark County website, and you can see the Charter Review Commission, and if you link on that, you'll find the Charter Review amendments. Now, they are listed in the order that we presented them with those 2601, 2640, mm-hmm. That's how they still appear on the website. That's not how I've told you they're going to appear on your ballot. But if you click on each one, you can get detailed information on each proposed amendment. And if you look up at the top, there's a link to click the financial analysis for each statement. So if you're going to be a smart voter, you should look at the financial impact of each of these amendments, if there is one. And if you want more information in the voter's guide, there will be a pro and an against statement for most of the amendments. Right now there are two that nobody's come forward to write the against statement. And there will be links, they will identify if there's a website associated with the for or against statement.
Good to know.
Well, Janet Landsberg, Charter Review Commissioner, that's our show. We're just in awe of the job that you've done, and maybe we ask you to come back next year because I think we got another run. So I'm Tracy Riley Kelly with Teresa Torres and Rachel Bancroft. This is Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy, powered by the League of Women Voters of Clark County and produced at KXRW 99.9. Our volunteer producers work so hard. Thank you to Brian Beaudry. You can hear a podcast of our show by going to the Citizen 411 page on the KXRW website. Learn about the League of Women Voters by going online, www.lwvclarkcounty.org.